Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week one, day one of our study of Ephesians and Philippians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ephesians 1, 1 through 2. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'm really excited to jump into this new study with you guys. I'm really excited about Ephesians and Philippians. I think that the Lord is going to bless all of us involved in this. These are amazing, amazing books, and I can't wait to jump into it with you. On the front end of this, I want to encourage you to read both books, Ephesians and Philippians, 10 times in the next 10 weeks. There's 10 chapters between the two of them, so that's one chapter a week. I mean, that's an easy 10 chapters a week for 10 weeks. You read that and you will get it in you like never before. It is amazing when you set that goal to read these things 10 times in 10 weeks. It's amazing how the Lord will transform your heart and your mind through that study. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? God, speak to us, fill our hearts, touch us with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ephesians 1, 1 through 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a really short introduction for the 10-week Bible study podcast. This is one of the shortest little passages we've ever looked at. And this is going to be a little bit shorter podcast as we go through this because we are actually taking smaller chunks than we do in some of the larger books, like we just got done with Luke and some of the past, like Exodus. We're biting off a lot. And so this is one of those books that you really can get this read 10 times in 10 weeks. But to start off with, I want to focus on what Paul he starts off by saying, hey, this is from Paul. Obviously, you know, this is a letter, so you can imagine how it was originally written. You know, Paul signs his name there, and then he's got his little salutation here, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I want to focus on that word apostle. Much is made of the word apostle nowadays. And the easiest definition of apostle is just one sent out or one sent out with a purpose or on a mission. That's what the word apostle means. But the context that Paul is using it in here carries a lot more depth, a lot more meaning. And that's one of the things when people really start digging into the word of God. Sometimes I've seen people go a little amiss at times, even doing word studies and things like that, because we can get into word studies that look at the definition and the proper Greek or Hebrew and things like that. And very often people use words a little bit differently than just what their definition would say. And so the term apostle, it definitely carries this idea of there being authority to carry this message. But there's also something more to it. There is an authority from God on this position that God has called the, I want to say, original 12 to, you know, it's like minus Judas plus Matthias. And then Paul, and there were other apostles, other people regarded as apostles in the early church. But Paul is probably the person that most people think of the most when they think of apostle. He's the one who's written most of the New Testament, or most of the books in the New Testament, I should say. Maybe not most of the words, but most of the books in the New Testament have been written by Paul, or he has a greater share of the books in the New Testament than anybody else. And so his words are important. His words carry a lot of weight for us as believers. There is a lot of theology, a lot of understanding that we gain, a lot of explanation that Paul gives us in his books. And the fact that his letters are preserved are really important. The fact that the Lord chose these letters that he's written to preserve them, they are very important. But this word apostle, it's not just the pure definition of the word that's important. It's the way that it's used. by Paul and others in the New Testament. And it is basically saying, hey, these are the guys who you should listen to. You should most definitely follow and understand what they're saying. These are the guys that at the moment are a little bit foundational to our faith. And we view Paul in a much different light than the people in the first century did. And that's one of the reasons Paul starts out by saying, hey, I am an apostle. Jesus himself chose me. And he says, by the will of God. This was not by my will. This was not by anybody else's will. This was by Jesus's will. And so, you know, much like Moses in the days when there was the rebellion of Korah, and Moses says, listen, you stand over there, we'll stand over here, and we'll see who God has chosen. And Moses told all the people, he's chosen me. When we look at Moses' story, he didn't even really ask for it. He wanted to run away from it. And we know from Paul's story, Paul really kind of wanted to run away from this. So this is not something that Paul is trying to say, I'm this awesome guy and you should follow me and donate to my ministry and follow me on Instagram and do all the things, you know, that everybody's doing, which, you know, would be helpful if everybody that watches this does those kinds of things to let other people know about it, ironically. But Paul's not saying that kind of stuff. Paul is not saying anything like that. He's saying, listen, I'm doing this because I have a burden from the Lord for you guys to listen to me. And so Paul is saying, I am this apostle because of the will of Jesus, not by mine. And again, Paul was regarded very differently in his day than we regard him now. And when we look at Paul's epistles and his letters and the different things that he's written, we see that there's a lot of people that don't like Paul. There's a lot of people that like this guy or like this guy, or they're being led away by these other teachers. There's lots of other teachers and lots of other people claiming to have this apostolic authority, just like Paul and just like the other apostles did. And a lot of them did not. We have a very similar thing today. There's a lot of people nowadays that claim to have some kind of authority, and they don't. Well, they don't have it from the Lord. They may have it from some governing body of some upstart, you know, denomination or something that maybe they started and created the website for, that kind of stuff. You can pretty much build whatever you want to nowadays with the internet, but that's not who Paul is. And so Paul was not universally regarded as, you know, the guy that we love to listen to, not in his day. Now, in the days shortly after Paul, yes. But in his day, there was still a lot of struggle going on of people trying to lead these young Christians astray into other things, almost always for money, almost always for fame or recognition or whatever. And we see in Paul's life, that was never his motivation. It's certainly not his primary motivation. I'm sure Paul liked to eat whenever he could, and he did definitely take support from people at times. But that wasn't his primary motivation, was not making a living off of the gospel. Not his primary motivation. His motivation, he was motivated by seeing people come to know the Lord Jesus the way he did. So he's writing this letter to the people in Ephesians, in Ephesus. And we know from the book of Acts that Paul spent, you know, the better part of 3 years in Ephesus. He spent quite a bit of time there. And so he got to know these people very, very well. Most scholars agree that this book was written while Paul was in prison. Most people agree that he wrote it while he was in Rome under house arrest. Some people think that it might have been written when he was actually in Judea, in northern Judea, under arrest. And we see that in the book of Acts, where he's under arrest there for a couple of years, and then eventually he's moved to Rome. But most people agree that this was written in Rome. Either way, we know that he wrote it in prison. And when we say prison, if it was in Rome, he was really under house arrest. So he's free to move about the city to a certain extent. He's got his own house that he's renting in Rome. So he's not in, like, shackled to a wall in this damp, dirty prison if it's while he's writing in Rome. Now, if he was in northern Judea at the time, then yes, he's probably shackled to a wall in some damp, dirty prison, because we know that's really kind of how he spent, or we think that's how he spent his time there. It was a really bad time for him. But again, more than likely he wrote this in Rome, and his stay in Rome and the way that Paul's life went in Rome. And most people agree, we don't have perfect information on this, but from all of the sources that we can gather, what it looks like happened to Paul was he did go to Rome. We know in the book of Acts, he's under house arrest in Rome for a couple of years, and he eventually did stand trial before Caesar. And he stood trial before Caesar, and Caesar's like, this is nonsense. I don't care about any of this kind of stuff. Whatever the Jews have against you and all this kind of stuff, I don't care. And so Paul was let go. And from what we know, Paul had said in his letters that he wanted to go to Spain. A lot of people think that he did go to Spain for some period of time. And then on his way back from Spain, he traveled through Rome. Peter was already in Rome at the time. He was bishop of the church in Rome. And Paul just happened to come back through Rome at just the wrong time. And he and Peter end up getting arrested and sentenced to death by Nero, who had blamed the fires in Rome on the Christians. And so Paul did die in Rome. There's some debate on when he died, but more than likely, he didn't die under this house arrest. He was found innocent and, you know, probably found obnoxiously innocent and let go at this point, but it would not end well for him eventually in Rome. One of the things that I want to point out as well about Ephesus is by this time that Paul is writing this, more than likely John, the Apostle John, is now the bishop in Ephesus. It could be that he came a little bit later. Nobody's 100% sure when this was written, but a lot of people believe it was in the 60s AD, somewhere in there. And by that point, John more than likely was bishop of the church in Ephesus, or he's presiding there in Ephesus. And history tells us that he also had Mary, the mother of Jesus, with him for a period of time living in the city of Ephesus. Paul finishes this opening statement by saying, "Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." I love, sometimes these are words that we can skip over, but I love the way that Paul always finds a way to bless people coming and going. The beginning and end of all of his epistles, it seems like he goes out of his way to bless the church. And even when he's dealing with problems, we have to remember that these other people, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We will spend a literal eternity with the people who are in this letter. We will spend a literal eternity with other believers on planet Earth right now, scattered all over the globe. And it's helpful to keep that eternity in mind when we speak to one another. We should speak to one another with honor and dignity. And when there is a need to bring correction, we should do it in fear and trembling. We should do it with humility and grace. But we should always strive to speak to one another, even when we have differences. And don't look at these books and think, well, they were unified and they didn't have no, they were people. They were people. They had differences. They had the same types and number and frequency of differences that you and I have with other people in churches today. Even across churches, the church of Ephesus thought about things differently than other churches just because of the type of teaching they had received in their culture. That's very normal, and there's nothing that's changed that throughout history. So when we speak to each other, I hope and pray that we can take on the graciousness and the kindness that Paul speaks to other believers, because we will spend an eternity with them. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.